Welcome to Fronteras, a program that explores issues at the border and beyond through the lens of arts, culture, and history. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Latino arts and culture organizations and nonprofits are historically underrepresented in research and data collection. What are the communities they serve? What's the ethnic makeup of the boards that lead these organizations? What are their yearly operating budgets? These kind of data snapshots paint an accurate picture of how the Latino arts and culture ecosystem is struggling, surviving, or thriving. NALAC, the National Association of Latino Arts and Cultures, surveyed in 2024 almost 500 groups across the U.S., including Puerto Rico, on their financial stability, partnerships, leadership structures, and a variety of other factors. NALAC spent the last 2 years gathering and analyzing the data, and it's available now in the report A Mirror and a Map, Nurturing Organizational Realities and Navigating Change Among Latinx, Latine Arts and Culture Organizations. NALAC is itself a nonprofit dedicated to Latino arts. It offers grants, leadership training, and other opportunities for artists and organizations. The new NALAC report grew from another survey NALAC launched in 2019, just before the pandemic. NALAC's CEO and president, Mari Hernandez, says the 2024 study expands on the data collected 5 years prior.
I think the wish was to expand the data that we collected. In 2019, we did what we refer to as phase one of this survey. We created a national directory. We were able to collect some data about the realities of organizations then. And we knew at that point that we needed to grow this research. So we were committed to doing that. And of course, we had a big shift in 2020. And we knew at that point that data has changed. And so that was really one of the catalysts for wanting to create this project. And it certainly has been an expansion and an addition to the data that we originally created or, you know, took in 2019.
Was there anything that kind of surprised you looking at the numbers going into this 2024 survey that maybe took you aback? Perhaps you might have been expecting to see more dire consequences, more closures of some of these arts and cultures organizations. What surprised you about what you saw in that data?
I think one of the things that immediately surprised me was that I could see NALAC reflected in the data and the numbers and the findings. Although we didn't take the survey, the findings illustrate our organization as well. And a lot of the ways in which we have grown, a lot of the successes that we've had, a lot of the challenges that we face are mirrored across the board in these organizations. So it was a big realization that we are facing the same things. We are facing the same opportunities and we're facing the same challenges. So on one end, it was validating. It was validating to know that we're not alone here, right? It's not us. We're operating in ways that many of these organizations are also operating. So that felt good. It felt good to be a part of that. But at the same time, it raises a lot of questions as to why. Why are we all encountering the same issues?
Well, let's talk a little bit about NALAC sort of being a lifeline for a lot of these arts and culture organizations, because you do offer grants, you offer a lot of opportunities for these arts and culture organizations to, you sort of give them a hand in order to help them expand and grow in their community. So talk a little bit about NALAC's role in that growth.
Sure, yeah. So NALAC offers a variety of programming. I think some of our most well-known programs are our leadership and development opportunities. So we have a suite of leadership opportunities that artists and arts administrators, leaders of arts organizations can participate in. Our annual NALAC Leadership Institute that happens every year in San Antonio. We are in our 26th year this year of that, and we have hundreds of alumni across the U.S., including Puerto Rico. We have our Advocacy Leadership Institute, which really trains the next generation of advocates, and our Intercultural Leadership Institute, which is a partnership of a series of organizations, arts and culture organizations that are situated across the U.S. as well. In addition to that, we are grant makers, so we provide grant opportunities for artists, arts organizations, cultural workers, arts administrators. We do research, which is what we're talking about today. We also do convenings in the form of regional convenings or national convenings. In fact, we have a regional convening taking place in November in Chicago in this year. So it's a way for us to connect our communities across the state.
Well, let's talk a little bit about some of that research. Yeah. You went into this survey in 2024, mm-hmm. and you had hundreds of arts and culture mm-hmm. organizations that you surveyed. What exactly was your process? Who did you reach out to? And what was it that you were looking for in the answers to that survey?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if we had an idea of what we wanted to get. I think it was with the understanding that we needed to fill a gap, because there is a gap in data about Latinx organizations and the work that we do. So we see this as filling that gap. We knew that the data, the findings that came out of it, were going to be a resource for us. And so that's how we're approaching these findings and this report and the website and the toolkits. We want to be able to put that into the hands of people so that they can determine how to use it. We know how we can use it, and we know, you know, how it can be beneficial for the public. So I think that it was, you know, going into the project was about knowing that we were going to fill a gap. We were going to have these findings that can be translated into resources, and we were going to get a broader understanding of our field. We were going to understand how many organizations are out there that are doing this work. And what are the realities that they face every day? The data really illustrates what these organizations are doing and how they're operating.
Well, let's talk numbers then. Let's talk about some of that data. What were some of the key findings that came out of this report?
Sure. I think, you know, what I really appreciate about the key takeaways and the key findings is also that NALOC sees itself represented here. I think a key takeaway is that demand has risen faster than capacity. So we see that demand for services across the board for these organizations is increasing, and it's steadily increasing. And I think that illustrates the growth of our field. And so we know that it's growing, and we want to capture that. We want to be able to understand and see that, how it's growing, and understand where these organizations are. I think that the field is nonprofit led, but it's organizationally diverse. So the majority of the respondents to the survey had formal 501c3 status. They were nonprofit organizations. But they also, as the data says, in addition to that, were diverse. So you could be operating as an LLC, you could be operating as an entity, you could be operating as a collective. So there's a variety of way that people are organizing themselves and doing this work. And you know, something that makes me think about is how these organizations have access to resources, because we know that a lot of grant funding is for nonprofit work and for nonprofit organizations. So what about the organizations that don't have a nonprofit status? What resources are they eligible to take advantage of? You know, as we share this data, we also are using it to reflect internally on our own frameworks and structures and how we build our own programs. You know, some of the data talks about the financial health of organizations. And one of the biggest needs for an organization in terms of funding is having access to unrestricted funds. And we knew that, because this is what we're hearing year after year within our field. And so it's good to see it on paper. It's validating. And that in turn allows us an opportunity to again look internally at how we structure our programs and to ensure that we are better meeting the needs of the organization. So NALAC has already, over the last couple of years, released a grant opportunity for organizations that is unrestricted funds. In fact, we have one that's launching late summer, early fall of this year. So it really provides us an opportunity to better serve the communities.
Mari Hernandez is the president and CEO of NALAC, the National Association of Arts and Cultures. NALAC surveyed nearly 500 Latino arts and culture organizations and published their findings in a new report. When we come back, the NALAC study was taken in 2024 and was a snapshot of arts and culture groups taken prior to the 2024 presidential election.
And so I can only imagine what, you know, the current political climate, what shifts in philanthropic priority or giving, how that has affected organizations currently.
Our conversation continues next on Fronteras.
TPR shares the stories of our community, our challenges, and our victories. A legacy gift to Texas Public Radio ensures those stories live on. Learn how to create your legacy at tpr.org/legacy.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. A recent survey of nearly 500 Latino arts and culture organizations reveals the current realities of these groups' organizational capacity, programs, finances, and sustainability. For example, these organizations are primarily driven by volunteers and board leadership that's overwhelmingly Latino. Over 80% of Latino arts and culture organizations do not own their own facilities, but nearly all are located within the communities they serve. Nearly half of these organizations work on annual budgets below $100,000. Only about 40% were able to break even. Nearly all of these groups reported having to struggle to raise enough funds to cover operating costs. More than half received some government funding between 2020 and 2024, prior to the change in administrations. The survey was conducted in 2024 by NALAC, the National Association of Latino Arts and Cultures, and published this year. The report, A Mirror and a Map, is interactive and customizable to the needs of the user. NALAC's president and CEO, Mari Hernandez, explains why the report acts as a mirror and a map.
It's a great title. I think it's a mirror in the sense that it reflects our realities. And it's a map because it can act as a path forward. It can act as a resource. It can act as a way or a piece of material that can allow us to understand the realities our organizations are facing and attempt to find some resolve.
Well, the Mirror and the Map website, it's really interactive. Mm-hmm. There are just so many details to it, and you can have a breakdown of a report. You have a copy of the report on there. You give not just sort of a general sense of what some of the findings are, but you also go into detail for those who want to really look into the data. And you also have something you were mentioning earlier, kind of a toolkit for these arts and culture organizations on how they might be able to start conversations with other partnerships or start conversations with policymakers. So you have the available information there, and you're also making it available for people who are in these arts and organizations, perhaps people in those leadership positions, to learn more about how they can grow their own success.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the project includes the research report, includes the website, and it includes the toolkits. And it was important for us to be able to make the data digestible and put it into the hands of the public. And once it's in the hands of the people, they can decide how to use it. You can use it, like you said, to do a formal presentation, to educate, to go to your board and ask for resources. You can use it to advocate for funding funding on a local level. You can go to DC and advocate for funding with your representative on a federal level. So there's a lot of different ways that the data can be used. It's fairly easy to navigate. You can download a page. You can compile the pages. You can sort of manipulate the data on the website and enter information that you're interested in learning more about. And the website will actually compile sort of unique pieces of data for you that you can use. So again, like you said, it is a beautiful resource that we're very proud of it. The whole project was about 2 years in the making. And we know that we have to continue to talk about this, that in terms of research, this is just the beginning for us. While we were conducting the survey, we heard from a lot of respondents and hopeful participants about their desire to also be counted, but they didn't necessarily fit into the criteria of the survey, because this survey is a slice of Latinx organizations. It's particularly about organizations that are founded, led, and serving Latinx communities. But we know that in terms of Latinx workforce, services to Latinx communities, the services and organizations go beyond that. And so again, you know, while this provides a slice, we know that this is just the start for us. We have a lot more research to do.
Well, the survey was kind of a snapshot in time, and it was in 2024. And we need to also think of where we are now politically. A lot of nonprofits saw a lot of funding go away because there were a lot of federal funding cuts.
Right.
And so what have you seen, or do you have any sense of maybe how some of these respondents might have fared since that survey was taken?
I'm not sure how the respondents have been affected since taking the survey and the change in administration, but I can assume, because I know what NALAC has experienced. I know, being in conversation with, our field, with our partners, with our collaborators, I know what other organizations are experiencing. So when we look at the data, we know that, funding was a challenge. A percentage of the organizations were breaking even, a small percentage of the organizations reflected in the survey were breaking even, a small percentage had a surplus, and some ended in a deficit. So it didn't paint a picture of great financial health, of continuous funding that could ensure that organizations could operate years into the future. We know that. And so I can only imagine what, the current political climate, what shifts in philanthropic priority or giving, how that has affected organizations currently.
So who's the audience that you want for this particular report? I'm assuming policymakers are probably among the ones who you really want to have eyeballs on this particular report. Yeah. But who is this report for, and how would you like to see it impact change in the future?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's for everybody. I think it's for everybody that is both doing this work, associated with this work, and interested in this work. I think it's for people that we serve, the communities that we serve, that are operating organizations, arts leaders, board members. It's for educators. It's for artists and cultural workers. And it's for policymakers. It's for leaders in philanthropy. It's for foundations. It's for all of these people to gain an understanding of the realities of Latinx nonprofit arts and culture organizations, and to find ways to ensure that our field can continue operating into the future. It's a great advocacy tool. I think it also, in the hands of arts leaders, can serve as a form of inspiration, or, a path to realize how they can look internally at their own operations and make shifts, create new partnerships and collaborations to ensure that they can continue their work as well.
Mari Hernandez, thank you so much for coming down to Fronteras talking to us today.
Thank you, Norma. Thank you so much for having us.
Mari Hernandez is president and CEO of NALAC, the National Association of Latino Arts and Cultures. NALAC spent 2 years compiling data from a 2024 survey of nearly 500 Latino arts and culture organizations from across the U.S. and Puerto Rico. We'll have a link at tpr.org to the study, A Mirror and a Map, Nurturing Organizational Realities and Navigating Change Among Latinx, Latine Arts and Culture Organizations. Coming up next week on Fronteras, oral histories fill in the gaps in underrepresented communities of color. A generation of students is learning how to gather these stories in a manner that respects the culture and language of the narrator and their community.
But for them to listen to stories from Latinos in Nebraska, right? I remember one of the students saying, wow, like I didn't know that I had so much in common with this, you know, particular narrator in a completely different part of the country. But also listening to people that were very different than them, right? Growing up very differently than them. So Latinos in New York, which is predominantly Caribbean, Puerto Rican, Dominicans, and also finding kinship in the stories that they hear, right? And what does that mean for us here in Texas as we listen to the stories of our communities, right? And so it's opened up really fruitful and engaging conversations about belonging, about who we are in relation to them, right? And then exploring the richness of our community here, right?
That's next week on Fronteras. Fronteras editors are Dan Katz and Yvette Benavides. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. Hear past episodes at tpr.org and on the Fronteras podcast. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Thanks for listening.